Bozier,
ma'am, you hurt my ears.
And he goes, no, please do not speak French. Just speak English. I was told to try. Do not try to speak French. Just speak English.
Are we podcasting right now?
We podcasting?
We're officially podcasting. And we're, I don't know why we are so excited about this one.
I could not be more excited about what we're going to talk about today. But first of all, thank you for joining us on the hashtag I'm on Sword podcast.
Yep.
Please rate, review, subscribe.
Yeah.
If you want to go one step further, tell a friend.
Watch us on YouTube. Tell your friends.
Oh, also, go to imomsoheard.com for our list of new shows that we're doing in 2026. Yep. The big one is for us.
We have Thousand Oaks,
February 21st. Everyone's going to be like, why are you pushing Thousand Oaks? Because we have some fancy people coming that might help Jen and I make a TV show. So we need to sell that fucker out.
We have one show left for this year, too.
Yes, and where's that? Oh, in Seattle.
It's in Edmonds. Yep, we have literally just a few tickets left. There's balcony seats, like the ones that...
They're great.
The Muppet ones that are right next to the stage. Yeah, those are open. And then there's a couple other randos. So get those. Let's sell
Go buy yourself if you want. There's no show that you could ever go to alone that you would
feel more
comfortable.
That's right.
You guys, all I've been thinking about is these idiots that robbed the Louvre.
Okay. Stuff is happening hourly about this. It's like the updates.
Awesome. Okay, give the brass tacks.
Okay. So this robbery at the Louvre occurred at 9:30 a.m. broad daylight.
Yeah, on a Sunday.
30 minutes after the museum opened to visitors, that these arrived at the building and entered from the side of the Seine River, bringing tools. They wore yellow and orange vests to disguise themselves as construction workers. Two members with their faces concealed with balaclavas, you know, those like ski masks.
They're ski masks.
Gained entry to the first story balcony of the building south side using a furniture lift.
It is a furniture lift. It's like a cherry picker that it goes up like a set of steps. Uh-huh. So it's like you're riding an elevator.
Well, which not surprisingly, they do have one of the suspects furniture mover guy. So we're not dealing with that in a second. But okay. So once they gained access using the lift's platform, they use a disc cutter to go through a glass window to access the Galerie de d'Apollon.
Oh, this French is going to be so good.
All I can do is some vague European accent. So
you
it might
do
be
a vague
little
European
bit
accent.
Like German, Belgium,
yeah, it's
French.
All mix, it's going to be as white as that lady is.
Yes. After threatening guards with their power tools, that's the weapons they had, the thieves took 9 pieces from 2 glass display cases, leaving the museum using the lift. They met up with 2 other members of the crew who were waiting on motor scooters. During their exit, they dropped the crown of Empress Eugenie's. Okay, that's one of Napoleon's wives.
Right.
Dropped her crown in the street like a bunch of bumbling fucking idiots.
Well, but they didn't go back for it.
The thieves fled along the banks of the Seine to the Boulevard Périphérique and then took 80, whatever. The
like
entire robbery took under 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And they spent only 4 minutes in the actual building.
Here's what I love about this. And I don't encourage anybody to steal anything and don't, you know.
What we're saying is if you must do a heist, try and top this.
Try and top this because I think this is sheer confidence. And these bros, Jen and I talked about it. We think they were having like whatever the French version of chicken wings at a BW3
early morning
away,
football
early morning,
game.
And they got a little drunk and they were like, I think you're smart. You know what I think you could do? I think you could rob the Louvre.
Yeah.
And the other one's like,
I can rob the Louvre.
You can rob the Louvre.
Watch me do it.
Yeah. And he's like, I got a furniture thing.
Well,
and
I got
you
a thing that can
landscaping.
Cut glass. Yeah. Let's.
I think, what else we got going on in the afternoon? You want to do that right now? Let's go do it right now.
Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah.
And those bros left and then went and robbed the Louvre. Here's what's amazing. We now live in a culture where people would rather record something than step in. So there's much video footage of these assholes.
There's
slow rolling an escalator up to the second floor of the frickin' Louvre.
In the Louvre itself, there were 20 eyewitnesses.
It's kind of the same as the smash and grabs in the U.S., which about the same time, okay, this doesn't tell you everything. About the same time that this was happening at the Louvre, there was a kind of a high level smash and grab where somebody cut a hole in the top of the ceiling into a Foot Locker and stole literally 250 pairs of like Nikes. Now, the smash and grabs that are happening at the malls, I find them terrifying because literally, and I'm glad that those workers just step back and let the thieves thieve because no one's
Why get hurt over it?
But there's a part of me that I'm like, do it in front of me. I dare you. Well, I'm going to grab an umbrella and I'm going to pound one of them. I'm going to hog tie one of those
But
fuckers.
These guys were
nonviolent.
They're like the Keystone Cops of Ocean's 11. Okay. Because they're in there for only 4 minutes. I'm telling you right now, it would take me at least that long to go, I think something's up. I don't think they work here. Because my initial thought would be, it's the fucking Louvre. I don't know what, it would take me a bit to figure it out, I think.
I would be stunned. I would know nothing. I would not know anything that happened. Literally be the worst witness ever.
I guess they did have the ski masks on, which is a little bit telling because
I would not think one thing of it.
If they had been head to toe all black with like pointy shoes, like
they were like
Pink
looking
Panther.
Like a French, like the stereotype. You know what I would think if I saw those masks? I think they're dealing with asbestos. There's something in the Louvre.
Right.
But the fact that they have like a to get through the thing and then it shatters. Here's what was smart about them. Here's what was stupid about them. But here's what was smart about them. They did not get greedy. They were in and they were out and they grabbed and they got. They like got the fuck out of there. And like they didn't, that crown fell. They didn't go back for it.
Yep.
However, bros at a bar pre the Louvre.
All right.
Who are you going to sell it to?
That's what they didn't think.
Who are you going to sell it to?
So the things that they stole, they were all like a Napoleon time period.
So like nobody could, so small?
Very short jewel. Actually, that Eugenia, may I say, not an attractive name for a woman, but
not an attractive name.
Insane. Like that, her crown, fucking fantastic.
Well, I think you're putting I think you're decorating a little bit there. You know what I mean? You're putting a little bit of lipstick situation.
Yeah.
I hate that expression.
No, I know.
But nothing.
I know.
Nothing
Listen,
says it like
a lot of
a
people,
Midwest.
Hey, a lot of people had like syphilitic sores all over their face.
Everybody had diseases all the time, and even in their hoo-ha. Yes. That's why everybody gave a shit about the. They were like, do you know what a merkin is when we did the Kim Kardashian video? Of course we know what a merkin is.
Yeah, but everybody
I'm just shocked
was...
that we're still trying to pass them off as normal today.
What we're trying to say is people weren't that attractive back then. It wasn't their fault. Their makeup had like lead and mercury in it and like ate through their skin.
And nobody smiled ever. I think everybody was like, a smile's unattractive.
Because their teeth, the richer you wore, the more you'd have sugar. You'd have sugar and then your teeth would rot out. And listen, nobody was...
They probably all smelled so bad.
They smelled so bad. That kind of like stink where it's like been days on top of days.
And you just cover it with like Bath and Body Works cucumber mist. Yeah. I don't want the little up in the pits.
There's a reason perfume was developed.
Perfume in an oil based so that it could.
Yeah,
you just it's like when you're in an old house and somebody's been smoking too long and then they try to wallpaper.
Yeah,
you're like,
oh, it's just running through that paper. Yeah, your stink's unfightable.
Your stink's unfightable.
At some point, sorry, French. There's going to be a lot more upsetting things I'm going to say if you were French.
Yes. Do you think like if they took a necklace apart and there was like a gem and it came across like a pawn shop. That's what I hope. And do you think that someone could tell that that's like a historical piece simply by the cut? Or do you think that jewelry cutting has kind of stayed the same in terms of getting the shot? You know what I'm saying?
I think you can tell.
You must be able to tell, right?
I think you can tell because like you can tell when it's a mine cut diamond, like my grandmother's diamond is a mine cut diamond.
Right.
Like, so back when they used to use like super sharp things, because now I believe to cut jewels, they use like high pressure water
and
air.
Lasers or look, I'm making stuff up.
Yeah, something. So I think the cut would look different. I think it would be a specific kind of cut. Like I think somebody who knows their shit would know. Like if it goes to a pawn shop, I don't think they know. I think they would go off of weight. But so it was the value of everything was $102 million.
$102 million.
But I don't know if all that value is because of just the pure weight of the stone and the weight of the metals. Or the what I mean?
I think it's both.
Or that it was historically relevant.
Yeah, they're considered priceless.
Right.
They're considered, you know.
So taking them apart gets rid of some of the value.
My hope is they go into some like dingy freaking pawn shop and there's like a guy named Tony and he's like, I'll give you, $750. And those guys are like, fuck yeah.
Well, so people who are really rich and trying to hide money or hide things of value will buy stolen art. They rent these like hangars that are like in, international waters, sort of, too poor to know about.
We've never been remotely invited to.
Even at LAX airport, I've heard this rumor that there are these like hangars where people store priceless art because at some point, like you can black market, like it's like passing unmarked bills to somebody. Yeah. Like it has that value still. Yeah. We don't ever have to pay taxes on it. You never like claim it. So I don't know if like there's this black market for jewels like this. And so they caught.
But dude, those guys know it? Are they like, hey, you said you got a cousin that might be able to get us a meeting with another cousin before.
So they caught a couple of them. They've actually caught five of them.
You want to know why?
All the DNA they left? They left their goddamn hats and stuff there.
They left 140 traces of DNA.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, guys.
One left a helmet there.
You should have just spit into a cup and made it easier for everybody. Just leave your headshot.
I mean, yeah, one of them left like their 23andMe enrollment kit. I mean, it couldn't have been.
Because he hadn't mailed it yet.
Yeah, it fell out of his pocket. I mean, they're idiots. However, no jewels have been recovered. According to the prosecutor du public, Laurie Bacher, the suspects were detained. All of them. Detained, hanging out together at the Paris
BW3.
It's in the suburbs, you guys. It's literally, it's your friends.
They're like, what'd you do today?
Craig, Chad, Rick. They got off at Union Pacific. They go to BW3s. They have like all you can eat hot wings night. They're having football. And then one of them's like, what am I going to do with these power? Why did I get a glass cutter for Christmas? Yes. I don't even cut glass for a living.
I don't even like glass cutting.
What do you think I'm going to do? Go to the Louvre and
then everyone goes,
oh.
You guys, down. I mean, we've been playing around this game for a long time. Let's just see it through. Okay, so they've got five bros. They all go hang out.
Yeah, they initially thought it was just four guys because there was only four guys that made it in and made it out that were in the ski masks. Yep, we're in the super slow. Could you get the one
that moves a little bit faster, Pierre?
I picture it. Have you ever like been in one of those houses where like the person gets like a little elevator that goes up the stairs? That chair. Our neighbor had one when I was a kid because like she had bad hips. I picture it being like that slow, like them 100%. Holding a cat on their lap,
and you're just waiting. I just imagine there's like a tourist couple from Ohio just watching this whole thing, like. Oh gosh, look at them going.
Are you sure I should have worn my Buckeyes t-shirt into the Louvre? No, it's fine.
They're on tour and they've got the little headphones on. They're like, let's start at the same time. 3, 2, 1.
What do you think those guys over there?
That says they belong to Napoleon. I think those guys.
You know what? I bet they are. So I bet they're jewelry cleaners.
They're jewelry cleaners. That's 100% right.
But why are they breaking through the glass like that?
I don't know, Joan. I don't know.
Well, because maybe it's just so secure. The only way in is through.
Through a window.
And so they'll put a new one on there as soon as they get their jewels clean. Well, yeah, I mean, this building's so old. It's a drafty place. Did you bring your hoodie? I'm going to borrow it.
Let's go to BW3. When I was in Paris, God love our people. When I was in Paris, I did see so many. Iowa Hawkeyes, Nebraska Cornhuskers, Ohio sweatshirts. But here's what I say, none of them were being what I think. Look, we all know the French can be a little bit sassy and a little bit cool.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I'm sure that they're even more of a tone when there's a crime.
Sure.
So spare me.
I've given very few compliments to the French. I'm going to be fair to my people too. You go to the Midwest and 80% of everybody's wardrobe is sports team related.
Our family.
80% of your suitcase, no matter where you're going.
Yeah.
Because it's not when in Rome do as the Romans do. It's like, nope, I want to be comfy. I want to have my favorite
Nikes. It's just the French are the most likely to be like, poo-poo. Ew.
Well, quit smelling bad and making that fucking face, Frenchie. Okay? And maybe don't just surround crown jewels with glass, okay?
Perfume.
Well, you know what? You need, like, invest in some of that, like, Popemobile glass that's, like, 27 inches thick, man. And stuff if you want to protect stuff,
you
want right?
to protect stuff. Think I of it can't like believe the Pope.
You boil this case down. Well, these guys climbed up the side of the building in broad daylight and broke a damn window.
Did you see him breaking the window? The thing is, they're so good at it, you'd think they're just replacing, you know, when you break a pane in your glass and they come in, they just replace that part. You're like, oh yeah, okay. Replace in a pane.
I do know because my father-in-law bought a house like in he calls it the Nebraska of France. It's like farmland.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But it was like this old, like Roman centurion fort thing. Yeah. And so it was like 1600 years old or something like that. But he bought it for like $28,000.
Don't get it twisted. I still want to live there, even if the French don't like me.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I don't care if they like me or not. I'd be like,
I'm like,
bonjour, go Huskers. Yeah.
Like the time I tried to talk French when I was in the subway and I was like, bonjour.
Mom, you hurt my ears.
And then he goes, no, please do not speak French. Just speak English.
I was told to try.
Do not try to speak French. Just speak English.
I will call Interpol and have you thrown out of the country. But I do know
you
from
need
the
directions to BW3.
Actually, I do. You have one here.
Honestly, I'm really sick of all of your weird fish.
And looked on Yelp. Oh, my God. Take the heads off your shrimp, you weirdos. Please. But, like, because they tried to redo this house, not redo it, but they were like, okay, we would like to have flooring in here instead of, like, dirt in this room. You have so much, like, red tape and permitting, like, because they do take, the French take like a 2 or 3 hour lunch, and then they have so many holidays and stuff that it takes months to get anything permitted, and they're so strict about it. You can like barely paint a wall that I can't believe they had this furniture mover outside the Louvre and somebody wasn't like, excuse me, I need to see your permit.
What do you think you're doing here?
Yeah. You cannot even park here. And then they take out gloves, white gloves, and smack them with it.
I don't know, man. They look like they were supposed to be there. This is just a case of, like, my husband always says, just act like you've been there.
Yeah.
Because I get weird. Like, especially, I'm just the person that admits it. If I see somebody that is famous, I get weird. I stare. Yeah. I don't know what to do with my hands. Like if I meet that person, you can just forget it.
Yeah.
Like
I'm going to say too much.
I overstep. I don't know what to do with myself.
I try so hard to convince them I'm not weird that I seem weird.
Then I'm like, yeah, it's cool that you're famous. Have you ever heard of my mom so hard? Like, can I have your phone number? And my husband's like, Jesus Christ. Just act like you've been here. That's how you do it. Act like you've been there.
Well, evidently that works because the guys at the Louvre did it. I can't believe it. Just the sheer confidence.
Yeah, it shows you. You know, fake it till you make it.
The first one that they catch just sings like a bird. They bring him in and he just like rolls over on everybody.
Andy, Tony, Luigi, Marco,
Monsieur
Dormant.
You know, like, Pierre? You know, Pierre,
Olivia, she Pierre, got me Peter, thinking I should do it because she wants to get engaged so bad.
Yeah. So this guy like sings like a bird and like gives up the other ones, but only partially admits to having done anything wrong. I'm like, what part did he admit to? Like, yeah, it was my furniture lift. I think that might be what it was, honestly. Because, okay, hold on. I got to put my readers on for this. Because two of the guys are...
That's so fun.
They have dual citizenship in France and Algeria. And isn't Algeria where a lot of shady shit goes down, right? Like jewelry related? They caught him.
That's amazing.
Trying to fly back to Algeria on a one-way ticket. Big red flag.
Okay, so maybe dumbass. Maybe they were like, let's go to Paris on vacation, and if we have time, we'll rob the Louvre.
Okay, this is what's interesting, though. One of the guys was seen at Charles de Gaulle Airport with a one-way ticket to Algeria. He is a 34-year-old Algerian native who has lived in France since 2010 and has worked as a garbage collector and delivery person. Okay.
Don't buy a one-way ticket,
bro. He probably had his name on the side of the furniture lift because he is like a got a delivery
business.
Furniture delivery business.
He's like, just paint out the last name. Like, you can keep Savant, but like, get rid of the last name because then no one will find me.
Yeah, and nobody will figure that out.
Yeah, and if you guys could mail my 23andMe after this, that don't forget that
I'm
envelope.
I'm really curious.
It's inside of the lift is the thing I think made it that they got away with it because I don't think any of us would in our right minds think no one would have the balls to use the smartest thing ever. But can you imagine being on that thing with the jewels going down and it's like, it'd be the slowest 4 minutes of your life. And you'd want to run down it. But if you just played it cool, everybody else like us walking around are going, I think they're supposed to be there, right? Are they just cleaning a window?
Yes, you're banking on people assuming you know what you're doing.
It's the vest.
But then they're like, but we need to get away quickly. We will leave on scooters.
And we'll go to a one-way ticket. No one will know.
I guess because, like, traffic in Paris is bad. Like, you don't want a
scooter's
car.
Scooter's really
get
mobile.
You can go. It's real, real spy shit. You can, like, go everywhere on scooters and get away, I guess.
I guess.
But they didn't even live far. They lived in the suburbs. They lived so freaking close.
Oh my God.
Let me see.
I wonder how many times they, like, I'm making fun of them being like haphazard, but it does beg the question, like, how long did they plan?
Who's the team? They haven't found the jewels. They will, but maybe by the time this podcast is out, they will have found them because I don't think they're like,
it's going to be in a box in their apartment that says, these are not the jewels.
Yep.
And they'll be like, bro, They're the jewels.
It's going to be exactly like you move a picture on the wall and it's got a hole punched in it. And then that's where they're, I mean, I don't think any of these guys got perfect scores on their ACTs. No, you know?
I don't think any. Look, I'm just saying, but you know what they got? Balls.
102 million worth of jewels.
Because literally some of the most fun conversations you can have is like, okay, if I was going to do it, I would do it like this. It's the line that like none of us cross. That they crossed that fascinates me. And the fact that I'm really glad that obviously this conversation would be way less delightful if somebody got hurt or
right.
These are stolen jewels from super rich people. This was a jewel for a jewel for a jewel. This was not, you know, I feel like this was like, you know, the H&M of the jewels
of
the time.
I understand why it's like meaningful to like the culture and the history, but like, I don't know if they're real. I don't know. Like, nobody's like dying because of this. Like,
there was another robbery of the Louvre, and I love this story. And my very smart little Finn went as this person for Halloween one year. The Mona Lisa got taken from the Louvre.
When was that?
This was in 1911.
Okay, because the last robbery before this one was the 98.
Yes, and that is a fun story too. But the one I like about the Mona Lisa was because it's speaking to the culture of the Louvre and of Paris and of France. When the Mona Lisa was taken, people like mourned it. They like had flowers in her place. Like the Mona Lisa, man, you don't get bigger than that. I saw it. It was small. She looks grumpy.
Yeah,
but it was cool. The number of people that were just around to see it made it just as special as actually seeing it.
Yeah.
So the guy that took it, his name is, I'm going to say it wrong, so I want to make sure I have it right, is Vincenzo Perugia. And
Perugia.
He was a janitor.
Okay.
And he stayed in a closet for 24 hours waiting for the right moment to get out, jump out, and grab this painting. But the painting is so precious and so guarded, and everybody was looking for this painting.
Yeah.
That he kept it under his bed. And for some ridiculous amount of time, like, for 2 years.
For two years it was missing?
Under his bed. I would like to know.
Bro.
Look, I know what's under my bed. It's Christmas ornaments I forget about.
Oh,
that shit
God.
Is covered in dust.
It's like fabric sheets
and what they do,
and
they
dust
found
bunnies.
This sucker and put her right back on the
wall.
Yeah. That's amazing. What's the 98 one? I know that. I think I have that.
I think that one was, it was paintings and stuff that were stolen. But because we've all seen these like heist movies and like the stealing of the Mona Lisa was such a big deal. Like, I just assume that you're going to get shot with the laser if you go like go in the wrong door to the bathroom at the Louvre, right? Like,
yeah.
It seems like it's going to be so locked down with like a grid, like yeah, real Mission Impossible
shit. We've seen all those movies with yeah. the like the... With the red, you know,
yes,
Ocean's 11
the
that we're going to have to.
Absolutely. And you got to like propel down.
They
through.
Did have one like that. There wasn't like a high end robbery where they had the spray that like showed you where the red lines were. And then those guys went in. I think that was this heist.
Okay.
Where they like made a mock version of that's where the Ocean's 11 movie came from. They made a mock version of the flooring and then they practiced going in and out. That to me is less interesting than these Louvre bros who just feel like they decided to do something and then in the middle they were like,
one of those guys pre-hitting the old tavern with these guys was like, you know what my wife, my girlfriend, she makes me go to the Louvre and
I'm gonna go to the Louvre.
There are these jewels, they're not well protected because
I could take a necklace from the Louvre. What,
the most shocking thing about Europe for me is how old everything is, which I love, but also that there's no like guardrails on anything. Like,
no, it's because it's a post office. You're like, oh, this building is just beautiful. It's a post office.
But it's also like, I remember being someplace in Scotland where I was like, you know, my child, there's no literal rail up and my child could fall down two stories.
100%.
Like, there's none of that. So it's like, it's not that shocking that like they would just forget a whole wing of the Louvre needed protected or something because...
Also, pay your staff, dude.
Don't get cheap. Don't try to get help
get
on the cheap. Yeah.
Like, go pay.
When we were in Scotland, the Queen that recently passed was from Scotland.
Yeah.
So her like summer house or whatever where she was like raised was one of the like houses we toured. And there's a set of the crown jewels there.
Whoa.
And this is the rule. Only one person in at a time. There was a guard standing there and you can walk around them. And then somebody tells you to get out. But I was also like, if I could overpower this person, like it was really kind of half-assed.
I'm sure every human thinks that when they're in there. But you know, there's also this, I don't know if this is how they run their police system, but I think this is kind of a smart move, is when a crime like that occurs, you can trust that you're going to find them. You're going to behave differently. If you take a little bit of that, we got to get them right now. Everything calms down. You know, like if there's like an eyewitness, I was talking to my husband about this because like, obviously when you talk about police, you know, roughing up somebody unnecessarily, like if you have video footage of someone committing a crime and they run, you don't have to chase them. You don't have to tackle them. You just wait and you'll find them. I don't think that's how we always think.
Right.
But I wonder if that's how the French government sort of did it. They were like, these dummies have left like such a trail. We're going to find you. I don't know. They just seem so calm.
Even Macron, was he prime minister or president of France? See, this is how little I know about your country before I make fun of it. But he was,
fair.
He immediately made this announcement that was basically like, we will fuck these guys over and we will send them to
they will go to a place without good bread.
Very unpleasant. Yes. No cheese for them.
No cheese for you. You will get no brie. You will get no fromage.
So I was reading about I was like, what are some other robberies that have happened that are insane, that are not scary, that are funny?
Yeah.
And I think you're going to freak out over this one. So I have a new boyfriend. His name is ChatGPT. And we are
Kristen
best friends.
She spends a lot of time with that
guy.
That's
a whole episode because there's people dating their ChatGPT. Sidebar, conversation for later. Sidebar.
Colin.
I don't disagree.
She calls him Chad and he listens.
No, he thinks he's Chad. And I'm like, you're not Chad.
I thought your ChatGPT was Chad.
Chad.
Are you calling him Chad?
Chad.
Chad with a D.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm right. Okay, you have named him. Okay.
I've named him.
Okay.
I like how they wrote this. It said, Ireland borrowed a priceless 300-year-old cello for a concert. I like how it's just like, Ireland borrowed a cello.
Okay.
whoever the cellist was, took a cab home and left the cello in the cab.
Oh, my God.
The whole country goes nuts. And the next day, the taxi driver brought the cello into the police and just was like, this guy left furniture in my car. He didn't even know what he had. Priceless cello. And the guy just returns it. Again, right. I'm like, look how everybody's just so calm.
Yeah.
You don't know that that's a priceless cello. I would do the same thing. I'd be like, this thing is huge. I'm not dealing with it.
Right. It seems like somebody's going to want this back.
Yeah, their mom's going to be so pissed.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, my gosh. So this is maybe only interesting to me because I just learned this and maybe everyone else knows this. But, like, countries do that a lot where, like, they, like, we have borrowed pandas and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
That we put on display here. It's kind of cool.
It is really cool. And I like when we get, like, art from other countries and then we share art. I think that's really cool because some of these things go on tour all around the globe, which I think is really dope. I just want to be the person that goes with the painting. However, I think we can all bet I would.
I'm not having you take a paint. Talk about leaving something in a cab. Oh. You'd be like, ma'am, this isn't even a real cab. You just got into a yellow car.
Oh, yeah, I did that before.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not the person you hire for that. I think my resume speaks for itself. So the Stockholm Credit Bank heist of 1973 gave us Stockholm Syndrome.
Yep.
So as the story goes, there was this bank robbery where they trapped the employees in a vault for 6 days. Scary, right?
Yeah.
Put them in there. But as they're in there,
you know, all I can think about is how'd they poop?
I mean, probably in a corner. Oof. I mean, let's designate a bag or something. I feel like they bring in a bucket or
something. Team building experience.
You don't want everybody crapping everywhere. That's just
right.
101. See, you're already good at this. You're thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Bring a porta potty. How big is that? Bring some dog bags. Okay. By day three, the hostages were like, actually, these guys are kind of nice. And they get to be friends with them. Get this. One hostage worried that the police might hurt the robbers. So they were even more compliant. And another one married one of them.
Oh, yeah. Yep. There's always that hoe who's like, I know he's on death row.
I know. I'm with you. Like when chicks go follow like someone who's murdered people and they show up to a courtroom, I want to say, I think you guys could go in and do a little work on yourselves.
Yeah.
I think you're guilty just for being here.
Absolutely. What the hell?
That's got to be a freaking misdemeanor or a just literally get arrested for bad taste.
That is the definition of red flag. Your ticker is busted. You don't have a ticker.
You're in trouble. And you know that those guys do get a lot of love interest when they're inside those serial killers, they're very popular. It's disgusting.
Look,
if you get a flutter for someone that's that violent and awful and evil, I feel like
you're culpable.
You deserve an ass whooping.
Yes.
On
totally.
Some level.
I
we'll
agree.
Go handle that. Here's another one that I think is really, really funny. This is the Great Canadian Maple Syrup Heist of 2011. So for all you Canadians, it might still be a sore subject.
What?
Canada woke up one day and realized $18 million of our maple syrup has been stolen.
Sound all the alarm. Oh, that was German, damn it. I was trying to do French.
I think they would do the very opposite. I think they'd be like, can we just alert people without sounding alarms? We don't want to offend anyone.
Yeah.
Can we just calmly organize a question and answer session?
Looks like Steve fell asleep on the job and all of a sudden all our maple syrup is missing.
That's 100% true. A group siphoned syrup. I'm never going to say that well.
She has
from barrels in a national reserve. Canada has a maple syrup reserve.
Okay.
They replaced the syrup with water. Sounds like 11th grade when you get in your parents' booze.
Yeah.
This was meant for months. This was there for months when inspectors just kept tapping the syrup barrels, listening for slosh. It became known as the Sticky Bandit Heist. Truly the most Canadian crime of all time.
There's no way they got those guys because they had a month's jump on them.
They had several months. And I think the Canadians were like, I'm pretty sure this is water, but I don't want to say anything to hurt anybody's
feelings. Look, I'm not Canadian. I'm not a syrup official. I'm not even a syrup aficionado. I can't really.
I do like a good syrup. I do like the Trader Joe's
Lexi's
maple syrup from Canada.
Vermont.
She sends
really good stuff.
Once you had the good stuff, it's hard to go back.
Slosh. It doesn't sound like water.
That's how they determined that it was water inside, I think.
It's because it was too sloshy.
It was too sloshy.
Okay.
They listen there we for go. The slosh. Again.
If you're an inspector, you better have a good ear for sloshing.
These robbery stories, I feel like they should be like a TV show. Should we
yeah.
be? The Antwerp Diamond Heist of 2003 is the Ocean's 11 of real
oh,
life.
Oh, okay.
And these guys, no joke, they took $100 million in diamonds Ooh. From the safest vault in Europe. It had two doors, heat detectors, motion sensors, mandatory fingerprinting, and they practiced for months in a full-scale replica of the vault. They used hairspray to blind the thermal sensors. They picked the lock, and they got caught because one guy left half of an eaten sandwich.
You're full of shit.
In 2000.
What? That's Brad Pitt's character.
It is, Jen.
I bet, because he always eats sandwiches.
I didn't even know that, but you're 100% right.
Was it really?
No, but I'm saying,
oh, yeah,
I don't know.
Would, right?
But it feels like you're 100% right.
He's always eating something
always
in a movie.
Something. Let me tell you something. In 2003, when we know DNA works, you leave behind a sandwich. As everybody's getting sentenced, I think that judge needs to go, y'all can go punch that guy one time right square in the
yeah,
gut. Because this guy,
what an
have
idiot.
You not ever watched anything on television about DNA? You're going to leave your fucking sandwich. You're going to leave a ham and cheese behind.
This is 101. Larry, you practice for months. And by the way,
for months,
have a healthy breakfast. You prepare for months.
And you bring a like, sandwich?
There's nothing sloppier than that. Was he like, did he?
I mean, bring an Uncrustable.
I mean, something.
You can eat the whole thing.
Just finish it. What I mean,
this is why you can't rob anything with kids, because they'd be like, you liked it yesterday, but now we're gonna leave half of it here.
How laid back and calm are you that
you're too laid back and calm? You're that guy.
You're a sociopath, man.
Well,
if you're like,
I don't think you're smart to here, be smart
hold,
enough to be
hold my Philly cheesesteak. Man, I'm not
I'm
holding
gonna get back
that.
To
fuck
that.
You.
Don't
yeah,
fucking throw it out.
No, I'm setting it right here.
Don't
I'm not
throw
gonna
it
hold
out.
You. I need both my hands because I got to blind the heat sensors, okay? I'm busy. I can't hold your sandwich.
Where's my sandwich, man? I just gave
oh,
it
shit,
to you.
Oh, shit, I left it
God
in there.
Damn it, Larry.
You dot every I, you cross every T, you prepare for months, and then you lose hundreds of millions of dollars because you're a fat fucking slob, man. That's what you are. That's what you are. You did this to yourself.
I'd be so mad. I'd be like, I'd be like, I'm
Can
never
you
talking
believe
to you
how
in prison
bad
ever again.
You and I would fight so bad. I'd be like, I knew you were going to fucking leave the cello. I knew you were going to leave the cello.
I'm sorry,
I told you,
I'm sorry, I'm
let
sorry.
Me take the cello. And you wanted to take the cello because you felt like, how could I possibly forget the cello?
Look,
and you forgot
no,
the cello.
Because we would fight because you're like, no, I'll lift it. You have a bad back. No, I'll lift it. You have a bad back. And we would fight.
Neither one of us has any business lifting this cello. Let's ask the guy who played the cello to do the only job you have is to remember to get the cello out of the cab. Okay.
Want to go get cocktails?
Yep.
Yeah. Do you get the cello?
Did we forget something?
Oh, fuck. The cello's in the in the fake cab.
And I left half a sandwich in the cab, too. My DNA is all over it.
We got to go to Algeria.
But let's get a one-way ticket. Even though I have millions of dollars, I'm not paying for a round trip.
That's ridiculous. Jen, plus we've got points.
Who do we... Okay, bye.
Should we do a hot flash?
Yeah.
I want to give a recommendation and a shout out because this cast is stacked with hotness.
Ooh.
Okay. It took me a little while to get into it, but the I think it's HBO Task with
oh,
Mark
yeah,
Ruffalo.
Yeah. Mark Ruffalo.
Guys, I don't even understand. That guy is so hot. He's like a former priest now. He's a task leader for the FBI.
Oh, okay. That's where the name
the
comes
whole
from.
Show is sort of dark and it's like unfolds like just
I heard
this,
it's great.
It's good. It's really patient.
Okay.
So like you do have to kind of allow it to become a thing. But the guy that I was so impressed with, he's married to our girl, Kaylee Cuoco, who is from Big Bang Theory. And
yeah.
They have a baby together.
Aww.
And I'm going to maybe say his name wrong. Tom Pelfrey. Jen, you are going to be obsessed with him.
Okay.
Because he bridges the gap for you and me.
Okay.
He's a little bit filthy.
Okay.
A little bit long hair. But he pulls it off. He's got that, like, he's doing it on purpose. It's a Philly accent, but he's from New Jersey. He is such a good actor in this. Your heart kind of breaks for him. It's unexpected. And I want him to be in everything from now on. He is so,
okay.
He's talented and smart and cool. And he's a super excitable dad. And he loves being married to Katie. But out of that, he's so hot. He's hot as is.
I don't know if I can tell a Jersey accent from a Philly accent.
Uh-oh.
But I can't tell.
No, where?
Really?
Come on now. That, like, you know, like, you know, that, like, rounded thing that they do in Philly.
Irish?
And then,
that's on an Irish.
Well, don't, I'm not a linguist.
Don't come don't at you me, come with, at your me with your best friend.
Can we just fucking podcast this motherfucker?
Pioneer.